This is Equip and Empower, the Christine Kane podcast. For everyone who desires to bring hope, create change, and live out their God-given destiny with passion and joy. Here's your host, Christine Kane.
Hey, everyone. How are you all doing? I am so glad that you're with us today. And we're continuing on in our series about running our race and carrying the baton of faith to our generation. I know you already all feel so much fitter being part of this series. And like all of us, we feel like every episode we are just running another lap of our race. But I really want to pick up where we left off last week. You know, I wonder whether somewhere in your life did you drop the baton? Somewhere did you get stuck in bitterness or unforgiveness or anger or hurt or disappointment or discouragement or disillusionment? Because those feelings are real feelings and they happen to all of us. It's called being alive on earth. That's what it is. And so we have to get better at being able to navigate some of those hurdles and obstacles and blockages so that we can keep running with the baton of faith to our generation. Maybe the baton wasn't handed to you well. So you get a choice of whether you're going to live as a victim or you're going to pick up the baton and you're going to keep running with it. You know, the baton of faith was not handed to me very well. I was abandoned at birth in a hospital. I wasn't even told that I was adopted. I was lied to for the first 33 years of my life. I was sexually abused for over a decade. So I was a young woman so full of pain and hurt and anger and unforgiveness, and I could have justified sitting in a corner for the rest of my life living as a victim. And so many of us, we do, we go, Christine, I can't pick up the baton of faith because you don't know what happened to me. And what we have done is we have made what other people did to us bigger than what Jesus Christ did for us. And if you and I, and even driving here today, something happened earlier on in the week that just deeply wounded me. And a lot of times people look at someone like me and think, you know, Chris Kane, she just has no emotion. You can't do what I do and not have emotions. I'm resilient, I'm tenacious, but I've got a heart like everybody else. And I remember someone said something very hurtful. And as I was driving, out loud, out of my mouth, I was saying, Christine, you have to choose right now to make what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary bigger than what that person said to you 2 days ago. And sometimes you've just got to say that out loud to yourself. They said that 2 days, and all I want to do is obsessively ruminate over what they said to me 2 days ago, rather than obsessively ruminate over the love of God who gave His only begotten Son to die for me. Now, it's not easy because I preferred in my flesh to obsessively ruminate over what they said to me. And in fact, I much more prefer to obsessively ruminate over what I should have said to them, because 2 days later, don't you ever worry. I mean, I'm thinking, why did I not think of that right there? And I could have said that answer. I come up with the most brilliant answers about a day later. In the moment, I sound like I'm dumb. But 2 days later, and then I just want to pick up the phone and continue the conversation. Just being real. And so I have to say out loud, out of my mouth, Chris, you have to make what Jesus did for you bigger than what they said to you. You have to make what Jesus did for you bigger than what they did to you. Because a lot of us, we never pick up this baton because we wear the cloak of victimhood. And we could have. I fit every government funding category in Australia. Honestly, I grew up in the poorest zip code in my state. I, you know, was abandoned at birth. I was abused. I was adopted. I was, I was a second generation immigrant. Like, this was before my big fat Greek wedding. It was not cool to be Greek in Australia. You know, nowadays, feta cheese is a real culinary delight. But when I went to school, the kids used to mock me because they had Vegemite sandwiches and I had feta cheese and garlic sandwiches. And so I was just kind of ridiculed. And I tell people I fit every government funding category. I'm a marginalized, depressed, dispossessed, poor, ethnic, minority, abused, adopted chick. It's awesome. I can make a fortune on government funding because they fund people like me and they give me a label and they say victim and we're going to give you a check and come back every week and collect that check so that we can label you a victim. But you see, I have read the book and my Bible says that he has redeemed my life from the pit, that I don't need to live as any kind of victim. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Now, if I did not make a decision to make what Jesus did for me bigger than what they did to me, I would never have picked up my baton of faith in the strength of Christ. There would be no A21. People would not be being rescued, as I'm speaking to you right in this moment, in 12 nations across the earth. Men, women, children would not be being rescued through the work of A21 because it wouldn't exist. Because I would be wallowing in a corner, making what they did to me bigger than what Jesus did for me. There would be no Propel Women meeting the needs of hundreds of thousands of women around the world, helping to equip and empower them to fulfill their passion, purpose, and potential in Christ, speaking words of life and hope and purpose. None of that would exist because I would be wallowing in a corner. Now, I wonder, you could be watching this right now, and you could have been stuck in that place of hurt and victimhood. And I am not in any way devaluing what happened to you. What happened to me was wrong. Abuse is never right. I was hurt, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ shed his blood at Calvary and rose again from the dead so that we could have forgiveness for our past and a brand new life today, here and now, not just when we die and go to heaven, but here and now. He is in the business of redeeming all things, of making all things new. I am living proof that you can start bad and you can finish good in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's not a need that Jesus cannot meet. There is not a mountain that Jesus cannot move. There is not a heart that Jesus cannot mend. There is not a sickness that Jesus cannot heal. There is not a soul that Jesus cannot save. There is nothing that my God cannot do. There is nothing that my God cannot do. Nothing. Jesus can heal you. Jesus can mend you. Jesus can restore you. You do not need to live as a victim, but you can live as more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. I love that. Every time a young woman is rescued through the work of the A21 campaign, every time a child is saved out of sex slavery or forced labor slavery, and we get to celebrate those testimonies and I get to put it out there on social media, I'm declaring to the devil, you can stick that in your pipe and smoke it. You tried to destroy me, but I bet right now you wish that you left me alone. And the very thing that you meant for evil against me, God has turned it around. He has worked all things together for good, and God meant it for this very purpose, to save many people alive. God can use your past to give somebody else a future. Your history does not need to define your destiny. You can surrender your broken pieces to Jesus Christ. He will weave them all together for your good and for his glory. And what the enemy meant for evil, God works it together for good. I am living proof of that in my life for every single one of us. But you've got to be willing to pick up the baton of faith. You've got to be willing to not be defined by your past, but to move past your past and carry this baton into the future. So our text, I want to read it, and we're going to begin to unpack it. The scripture says, Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So in this passage of scripture in Hebrews, how do we run this leg of the relay? Well, remember, Hebrews chapter 12, therefore then, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, we wake up every single day and we know that in the grandstands of heaven, you have to understand, there is no spiritual grandstand here on earth. When people go, I'm cheering you on from the sidelines, you don't get an option. There is no sidelines when you're a Christian on earth. There is only the race. So you are either running in the race or you're not. The only grandstand is the eternal grandstand in heaven. That is the only one that exists. Here on earth, there is no option to be a Christian spectator. See, what happens is some people who call themselves Christ followers are simply spectators spectating at a Christian event. They are not participators following Jesus on the journey. But you have to understand, here on earth, there is no grandstand. There are no Christian spectators. You're either a Christian or you're not. You're either following Jesus or you're not. My job is not to entertain you. My job is not to run your race for you. My job is to train and equip you to do the work of the ministry. But there is the work of the ministry that you've got to do. There's a lane for you. There's a race for you. There's a baton of faith that only you can carry. My job is not to be a Christian celebrity for you to come and watch me. My job is to train and equip you. The reason I have this broadcast, the reason I write books, the reason I go around and I teach the Word of God is to, one reason, to train and equip the saints to do the work of the ministry and to reach the lost people. We have turned so much of our Christianity into a performance and a show, and we've bought into the celebrity culture, but you have to understand, do not bring celebrity culture into Christianity, because there is no room for that. There is only one star of this show. His name is Jesus. He is the only one that is the leader in this show. His name is Jesus. So I need you to know, there are no spectators. It says there's a cloud of witnesses, and I love that list in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, you know, it gives us a whole list: Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab. I love that chick. She's in there. I love that. It's just, it gives us all hope. Okay, that's fantastic. Gideon, David and Samuel. And in Hebrews 12:32, the writer to the Hebrews says, I don't even have enough room to tell you about all of the others. That's who's in the grandstand, not the people on the sidelines. And that's what I notice in our faith. We love the sideline Christians. They're the Christian commentators. They're not the followers, they're the commentators. You see them on Twitter, they're awesome. They just pop out, man. They've got an opinion about everything and they're doing nothing. They're the ones that like posts but do nothing. Don't ever confuse liking something with doing something. And what happens in our generation, we think because I've liked it, I've done it. I'm like, no, sweetheart. That's just called liking. And so what happens is, he says there's a cloud of witnesses in the grandstand of heaven and they are cheering us on. So I want you to know that we're not going to forget that there's a generation that's going to come after us. Because if you do, you're not going to fight for your marriage. We're not going to think that praying for the moral purity of a generation matters at all. You know, every time you go to church, I know it sounds like a simple thing, but we in this country at least are still allowed to go to church on a Sunday. Now, you just need a Sunday where you're suddenly not allowed to realize how important church is. But because we live in the nation of options, oh no, the parking lot's too far away. Which service, we live in options. Will I go this week or won't I? Will I go out on the boat or will I go to church? As if there are countries in the world where people are losing their heads for being followers of Jesus. What they would give to have one Sunday worship experience like we do. So I want you to know, every time you go to all that hassle, single mother watching this, of packing those kids in the car, trying to navigate just the, you know, you've almost lost your salvation by the time you get to church if you've got a car load. Don't write me any letters, I don't believe you can, but I'm just saying. But the point is that it is amazing to me, is it worth the effort? Yes. Because we're making a statement to the kingdom of darkness that the priority of the house of God is important. Every time we raise our hands and we worship God, even in some of our darkest hours, we're saying, you are still God and you are worthy of my praise. Does it matter? Absolutely. You're carrying the baton of faith. Every time you bring your tithe into the house of God, does it matter? Absolutely. You're saying, I'm seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, and I am trusting God above everything else with the first fruits of all of my increase in my life. Every time you keep yourself morally pure, you think in the crazy world of moral impurity that we live in, Christine, does it really matter? Yes, it does. It does matter for a generation, and it does matter to God. Every time you make a decision, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to gossip, I'm not going to slander, I'm not going to cheat, I'm not going to get caught up in gluttony. Does it all matter? Yes, it all matters. You're carrying the baton of faith to your generation. It all matters. And we have to get to a place where we understand that what matters to God should matter to us. And that's part of carrying on the baton. We're just choosing which parts of the Bible we want to keep and which parts we don't. Oh, I don't like this part, so I'm just going to drop it. And so we just throw away the baton of faith. Oh, it doesn't matter. No. Who cares? You know, sexual immorality. Oh, let me just define it. I'll just define it, what I like. No, I don't like that piece. I want it to be called this. And now I want to do it. We just drop it. No. I don't really feel like going to church. You know, it doesn't really matter. We're two or three are gathered. If I'm just with someone else, God's there. That's church. No, I don't want to be accountable. I don't want to be submitted. I don't like that. There's just so much exploitation and, you know, there's just such power-hungry people that let's just throw out biblical authority and spiritual authority. It doesn't really matter. None of it matters. Who cares? We just throw it away. Oh, the Bible, yeah, it's kind of sort of true. All the parts I like, the parts that I don't like, it doesn't matter. Just throw it out. And then we'll get to the landscape and go, wow, the moral fabric of our society is just trashed. No one actually knows what absolute truth is because we've just made everything relative. Cut out the pieces you don't like, rip out the pages you don't like. Let's redefine everything because we don't like how God defined it. So we're more compassionate than God is. God doesn't like to include everyone in everything, so we will. And we just redefine. And we just throw out the batons of faith. And we think we're doing God a favor. We think we are more loving than God. We think we are more compassionate than God. And whatever we don't understand, we try to make it fit into our finite comprehension and understanding. Is there a place to go, well, Isaiah 55 says that his thoughts are higher than my thoughts and his ways are higher than my ways, so maybe he knows something I don't know. Maybe I don't understand certain stuff, but I'm still going to trust him in that gap where I don't understand it. What am I going to trust? I'm going to trust his character and his nature. I'm going to trust that he is good and that he does good, Psalm 119 says. And although I don't understand some things, I'm going to believe that God who is good and God who is light and in whom there is no darkness, God has no dark side. So if God has set up certain boundaries, if God has set up certain statutes and rules and systems, then even if I don't understand them, I'm going to trust that he's good. And I'm going to trust that he knows something about human nature that I don't know. I'm going to trust that he knows something about how we best operate and flourish that I do not know. And so I'm not going to try to override him and say, I'm more compassionate than you. So I'm going to change your word to say what it doesn't say so that it can include what it doesn't include just because it would be more convenient if all roads led to Rome. But Jesus, you actually said you are the way, the truth, the life. And then Jesus, you said no one comes to the Father but by you. And the last I checked in Greek and in Hebrew and in Aramaic, that word no one means no one. Jesus, this is a really exclusive faith. Jesus, are you that narrow? Are we willing to say in the day and the pluralistic culture in which we live, where we have a world that is saying all roads lead to Rome, believe what you want to believe, follow what you want to follow, include what you want to include, redefine and reassign whatever you want. Are we willing to be followers of Jesus that go, man, there's some stuff that I don't understand, but this much I know. God is good. God does good. That Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. So that's got to be the best way. And not only the best way, it's got to be the only way. Therefore, I'm going to carry a message of love and grace and mercy to my generation. But I've got to understand that no matter how much love and grace and mercy I have, ultimately, the cross will be foolishness to those that are perishing. Ultimately, not everyone's going to choose to be a follower of Jesus. And ultimately, some people are just going to disagree. Are we still in the midst of that kind of culture going to have the courage to pick up the baton of faith in love? Are we going to have the courage to be willing to be misunderstood? Are we going to have the courage to say, having done all else, I'm still going to stand? You can turn that fire up 7 times 7, but I'm not bowing. No, I'm not bowing to any other idols. I am not bowing to any other. I know it's not popular. I'm sorry. I'm not going to bow. I know it's not politically correct. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to bow. I know that all my friends are not going to stick by me. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to bow. I know that you may misunderstand. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to bow. Because this baton of faith is too sacred. It's too holy for me to just drop it on my watch. And I am not going to contaminate the baton of faith. It has been handed to me from one generation of the church to the next. My job is not to contaminate it. My job is not to argue about it. My job is to hand the faith that's been handed down to me to the next generation. Are we willing to carry the baton of faith to our generation? Are we willing to run? And the Bible says that we are to throw off all of the things that actually would hinder us. And the writer to the Hebrews says, throw off everything that hinders us running this race. Now, unfortunately, a lot of us, we don't throw off everything that hinders. We like to carry it. Now, in these days, they would have understood that when you're running the race, I mean, there was lots of, it's sort of the origin of the Olympic Games would go right back into these times. And you would have athletes that would run. So I've asked a couple of people to come here and to be an athlete. So you guys come up, and this is just absolutely fantastic. And we've got lots of different types of athletes, and you girls are so awesome. Thank you for doing this. Now, over here, normally, when you go to an Olympic race, this lean, mean running machine, this is what happened. Now, back in these biblical times, they actually ran naked, but neither of the girls agreed to do that for me. So they would turn up and they would be wearing a cloak, and then they would drop their cloak and they would run naked. Well, for the sake of modesty, and this is Christian television, we're not going to do that. But over here is normally what you would wear. You would wear fairly well-tight Lycra pants and a top so that you are unhindered. You've got nothing to stop you from being a lean, mean running machine. You're going to get in those blocks and you're going to take off. And this is how we're supposed to run. We're supposed to spiritually look like this. But what most of us do as Christians is this is how we run. We come up to the starting blocks and we go, I'm going to carry my baton of faith. And we make sure that we put our good mountain boots on and we've got our big jacket on and we turn around and we've got this humongous, this is so heavy, you're strong, and we've got this humongous backpack on and we fill this backpack with everything that we can think of, and bitterness and shame and guilt and unforgiveness and pride and lust and anger, and we fill it up and then we get all these nice things that we feel so comfortable with, all the things from our, and our skull, and we go, okay, God, I'm ready to run. I'm ready to carry my baton of faith. And, you know, they've got their baton. And who do you think is going to go further? Who do you think? This is why we get here and we keep adding stuff to our back. And we take about 2 steps and we go, oh, I can't, because we drop the baton because we want to grab our backpack because it's so heavy. You could do that. And we grab it. But over here, when you're a lean, mean running machine, you could go and you're going to hand that over to me, and then you're going to keep running and get ready to grab another one and grab another one. And what is happening is too many of us in our Christian faith, we are running a sprint wearing snow gear and a backpack instead of being lean, mean, shedding off all of the junk that God has called us to shed off. And really, our whole Christian life is a whole journey of laying aside everything that hinders us from running this race that God has called us to run, because we want to carry this baton and hand it from one generation to the next seamlessly. But it's your decision. Are you going to run as if you're climbing a mountain, or are you going to run as if you're running a sprint in the race of life in Jesus' name? Which one? Which one?
Thanks for listening today. We hope today's message has encouraged and helped you. By the way, we'd love to see you positioned to experience all the great things God wants to do in your life. And we've got a special gift that'll help you do that. Just go to ChristineKane.com/podcast devotional and download your free copy of Christine's 14-day devotional, Spiritual Growth Spurts.